Now, long before NATO was even a glimmer, came the greatest American naval disaster you've never heard of, and it happened in the summer of 1779 in a place called Penobscot Bay. It's in present-day Maine, but at the time, the land was owned by Massachusetts. The American Revolution, which was still seen by the British as a rebellion, had just entered its third year.
And suddenly, in the middle of this summer, the British send a very small expedition to land in the Penobscot Bay.
That's historical novelist Bernard Cornwell, and he picks the story up from there.
They intend to establish the province of New Ireland and to sort of hold the coast for Britain. It's really quite a small expedition that the British send, and the Massachusetts, quite rightly, decides they'll get rid of them.
But this is an act of war.
Yes, it's an act of war, and Massachusetts is going to send a fleet. In fact, it's the largest fleet ever assembled by the rebels in the whole War of Independence. Their orders said that you are to captivate, kill, or destroy the enemy.
Right.
Captivate, I love. So they were sent to captivate, kill, or destroy Francis Maclean and his 700 men. What happened was that this huge American fleet reached Penobscot Bay, July the 28th in 1779, and the Americans attacked, and it was a very, very successful attack. They got their whole army ashore. The bluff was defended by a much smaller British picket. British had the advantage of the height. Four Americans had to climb this bluff, couldn't use their muskets. They needed both hands to pull themselves up the bluff. Drove the British off the top, and then when they'd gained the high ground, and there in front of them was the fort, they inexplicably stopped. And at that point, everything goes wrong. The commander of the army, who's a man called Solomon Lovell, says, well, I can't attack the fort unless the three ships are destroyed. Commodore Dudley Saltonstall, who commanded the American fleet, said, well, I can't attack the fleet unless you attack the fort. Well, I can't attack the fort. Well, I can't attack the fleet. Well, I can't attack the fort. And neither would move. I mean, you have this completely ludicrous situation where the general is saying, I'll move when the admiral moves, and the admiral is saying, I'll move when the general moves, and in the end, neither of them are talking to each other. It's this sort of horrible situation of watching a great ambition being destroyed by, I suppose, really just sheer incompetence.
So Bernard Cornwell, whose new book, by the way, takes place against the backdrop of Penobscot, Cornwell says that while the Americans were doing nothing, relying on a siege to starve out the Redcoats, the British were building up a fort.
Making the walls of the fort higher and higher, getting more and more guns ashore.
The Americans eventually got wind of the fort, and they called in reinforcements. But it was too late. The British had already called in their own reinforcements.
And then suddenly the British relief fleet arrives in the river. At which point Saltonstall, who commanded the American fleet, well, I think the only word to say is he panics. They manage to get the whole army off the land onto the transport ships. When they get up the river, they're trapped and they can't get out because the British have blocked it. And the whole fleet is burned and went to the bottom of the river.
It was a massive loss. 41 ships sunk, the worst naval disaster in American history up until Pearl Harbor. But what's even more extraordinary, says Bernard Cornwell, is who was held partially responsible. He was the American officer in charge of artillery at Penobscot, but you may know him better from this poem.
Listen, my children, and you hear
the midnight ride, Paul Revere, Paul Revere.
And I guess we have to cut a very long story short and say that at the end of the campaign, Paul Revere is going to be court-martialed for incompetence and for behavior tending towards cowardice.
Unbelievable. The hero.
It is unbelievable. Yes. And it struck me when I came across this. I mean, I
after Revere died in 1818, he might have been forgotten to history, if not for the poem Paul Revere's Ride. The poem was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow more than 80 years later, and it was largely fictional.
It's instantly famous. And Revere is suddenly sort of elevated into the great pantheon of American heroes.
Bernard Cornwell, this is not a widely known story. I mean, students in high school, even in universities, don't know about this. So, you know, why did you want to sort of deflate our balloon? You know, why did you want to pop our balloon?
Oh, I'm sorry. Guy, I'm not trying to deflate your balloon. I think I wanted to deflate Paul Revere's balloon. There's a supreme irony here. Henry Longfellow made him famous, and Henry Longfellow's name is Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Right.
And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's grandfather was Peleg Wadsworth, the man who brought the most serious charges against Revere that got him court-martialed. And I do believe that Peleg Wadsworth is probably turning in his grave when he sees what his grandson did.
That's novelist Bernard Cornwell. His new book is called The Fort. Bernard Cornwell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Guy.